Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
You just a really, really galvanising week in rugby league, but also one that's made us all very aware.
Yeah, it certainly rocked the game, the news on Friday, Dobbo. And look, everybody just sends their condolences and their deepest sympathies to Paul's family and all of his friends. But I think what it has also proven once again is that, you know, in tough times, the rugby league community will bind very tightly together and look after one another. So that's a positive sign at least.
Yeah, good afternoon, James Graham. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, I'm going okay. Obviously, I'm pretty affected by the news this week. I didn't know Paul Green on a personal level, but you know, rugby league is one big family, and yeah, I don't know anybody that's connected with the game that, you know, doesn't have you know, emotions and hasn't been affected by this. It's hard to talk about and hard to figure this out and digest the news.
Yeah, well, we were all absolutely devastated when that tragic news came through on Thursday that Paul Green had tragically passed away.
At the age of just 49, Paul Green has tragically passed away. A true legend of the game, Greeny dominated as a player.
Slips it back inside for Green, a beautiful ball.
And a coach.
I suppose if I could sum it up, I'm just really proud of the way they won tonight, how they've gone about everything they've done this year.
Playing 160 NRL games, winning the Rothmans Medal in 1995, playing 10 Origins, and then coaching for 167 games, winning the Cowboys' first ever competition.
He's got it!
Playing the NRL at only 5'6", you have to be tough. And Greeny never took a backward step from anyone.
Green stepping away, rushing players twice his size.
As a player, he played at the highest level for Queensland and Australia. As a coach, Paul Green was a winner.
And we have witnessed perhaps the greatest of them all. What a game!
He'll be forever remembered as the man who brought the Cowboys their first ever premiership. Today we say goodbye to a champion.
It's a good way to finish.
Rest in peace, Greeny.
Just an absolute tragic set of circumstances with the passing of Paul Green on Thursday. Gordy, I'm going to come to everybody, but your stories with Paul Green, you grew up together playing rugby league. You've obviously managed by the same manager. You've had a lot to do with him throughout your career.
Yeah, the first time I come in contact was obviously watching Paul Green dominate the Brisbane competition. And he was playing for East at the time. He was the best player, and then I think 93 or 94, he signed with the Cronulla Sharks. I was down there as a young guy from the Dragons. He and Craig Greenhill Knuckles, and they came down, and being a Queenslander, we all sort of hung together, and we'd hang out down at Cronulla. We'd all, you know, have a game of touch footy on the beach, whatever. So no one Greeny for that long, and then our careers ended up together where he did a full circle and come back and played for the, you know, one of the clubs that he loved was the Broncos, and wear the famous number 7 that his hero wore, and Alan Langer. And you know, the greatest, you know, like Greeny stands for a lot, and I think MG just summed it up beautifully. So well written and well said. But when they asked Greeny at Andrew Symes' funeral, the legacy, it was a stadium that they built, and the Cowboys, and so he'll always be remembered. As a great player, I loved playing with him. He always wanted to coach me on the field. Not too many players, when you go into a team, just keep on working on you. And Greeny was sort of coaching before he was a coach. And then, you know, like his legacy up in North Queensland is that great stadium that the Cowboys run out every week. As a coach and as a player, he played for his country, his state, and played in grand finals. And everybody that he played with loved him.
Yeah, he was loved. Hoops, you had an awful lot to do with him as well. This is just, it really has hit home, this tragedy.
Yeah, well said, Gordon. Look, he certainly touched so many people, Paul Green, and I was lucky enough the night that the Maroons flogged the Blues 52-6 at Suncorp Stadium. I was up there working, and I went over to Gambaro's for a couple of beers afterwards, and I bumped into Greeny, his great mate Craig Knuckles Greenhill, and all of this Wynnum crew that were all his great mates from school, and one beer led to another, and before we knew it, they said, listen, you're with us tonight, and we're going to the casino. So we went to the Treasury Casino, and we parked in this little corner bar, and it was just a ripping night. But to give you an insight into the sort of bloke that he was and just how popular he was, a couple of the locals would have been an elderly lady. Look, she was probably in her 60s, I reckon, and her husband were there, and they were celebrating the Maroons win. And they came up with a couple of Bundy and Cokes, and they said, "Oh, excuse us, Paul, we bought these for you. We just wanted to say thanks. We're North Queensland fans. We go to most games, as many as we can, and we just wanted you to have these to as our token of appreciation for being the coach who guided us to the first competition victory." And Greeny, being the sort of bloke he was, he said, "Look, thank you very much. I appreciate the gesture." He said, "I'm not going to accept the drinks, but hoops, let's get another couple." And we stood there and had a couple of drinks with these Cowboys fans. So that just gives you an insight into the sort of bloke that he was.
The thing that has come through, and we all knew him very well because of obviously his role as the Cowboys coach and then as the Maroons coach, and he, in Queensland, he's royalty. And you talk about Wynn and Manly and the Bay Area, his crew there. Fascinating, which I didn't realise, he was the school captain at Wynnum State High, and Sam Riley, the swimmer, the same time. She was the female school captain there.
I think she went to the Barcelona Olympics, and Greeny ends up going down to Cronulla and having the career.
But he come true. The Wynnum area, he loved it. And the thing about it is he was loved by so – his circle was so big. And speaking to somebody this morning heavily involved in the game, and they just said the fact is that no one, not even his closest, saw this. And I think that's what's rocked everybody so much. And we talk about it. We're all proud men. We're all fathers. Yeah. We all get it. We get it. We have ups and downs. We struggle. But no one saw the Black Dog at that stage. No one saw it. And that's the thing that I think has really hit James Graham, everybody home, because we thought from the outside looking in, and you never fully know, but not even one of his closest crew knew anything was wrong.
Yeah, well, first off, well said, Gordy, mate. That took a lot of courage. And it's a recurring story that we hear after tragic events where, you know, close friends don't see it coming, and that's what makes it so complex, that these people that we know and love that are so full of life, and you know, we just don't get it, we don't understand it, and I don't know how we go about tackling that. I really don't. It's an issue for society, and obviously we're part of society, and it affects rugby league people too. And it's so difficult to sort of comprehend. It really is.
Yeah, I would love to see there's the Are You Okay? I Got You For Life, there's Lifeline, all those counsellors and all the psychs and those organisations give us something that we look for, because with Paul Greene, I'm sure he knew my number. He knew so many numbers. He knows Lifeline's number. I'm pretty sure with the Gotcha For Life Cup played at Manly, which got so much publicity, Are You Okay? You know the people, like, you know who you can reach out to, but you never do reach out. So I think from all of us, when we look, what signs, like, I think we know who to ring. We know, like, I know my wife's number. I know my son's. I know the people, if I'm ever going to be dark, who I ring that will help me. Everybody knows that. But I think in society, we don't know what to look for. And if you say there's no signs, but there's got to be, to me, there has to be a sign.
Yeah. Yeah. And
if there's no sign, well,
there was
we can't
no sign.
Fix it.
Should the NRL, James Hooper, should the NRL be investing more heavily? And I'm going to ask James and Gordy in a minute, but to me...
I think they do enough.
But for post...
No,
the problem is...
Gordy, no, I'm...
With what?
No.
I don't think that we're getting... I think it's great when you're in the game, but I don't think there's enough being spent and enough stuff happening from the NRL after the athlete or the coach is out of the game. And this is the worry, because Paul Greene, in the last 3 years, had parted ways with the Cowboys, had coached an Origin and left the Origin. The two things. So he, I don't know what has gone wrong, but he has had two really
bad... You reckon the team environment, like he felt comfortable in the herd?
I don't think the NRL do this deliberately, but James Graham, I'm fascinated. You're just the most recently retired. Very much, very involved when you're in the game, but when you step out into retirement, it just doesn't seem like there's enough there to support our players and our coaches.
Well, I think you're right. So this is a big conversation, and actually I'm doing a bit of an investigation with the Australian at the moment on retiring athletes and head trauma and concussion and whatnot, and you know, is there a link between that and mental illness? Are contact sport athletes more susceptible to mental illness as opposed to, you know, people in the general population? As part of the sheer number of concussions and subconcussive blows that you're exposed to both in games and at training. So one of the things that I've looked at is, you know, the possibility of sort of an annual brain, mind and body checkup. I think one of the biggest things in transitioning out of sport is, you know, we talk about the mateship, the collective goals, the structure that it brings to people's lives. But one of the biggest things I've noticed is just how different the access to medical services are. And as an athlete, you are so well looked after, to the point where you would never make a medical appointment by yourself. You would never have to arrange any of that. You have interactions with your doctor 3 times a week in a typical week, where you can ask them all sorts of different questions, and you're constantly being monitored around wellness, you know, physically and mentally. So oftentimes things are picked up before you even know about it. You're being observed by so many people, sports scientists and stuff like that. And hey, look, I don't think anyone that has played the game is after any sympathy from anybody. We just want some solutions. And I think part of that, again, I'm all over the shop with this topic, but yeah, I spoke to somebody at the NHL alumni where they have an annual brain, body and mind checkup for their former athletes. And for me, that's a solution that the NRL really need to consider. So put in place, and I don't know how this looks, a facility, an opt-out facility of when you've transitioned that you can go to on an annual basis. You're booked in on an annual basis. So perhaps that, you know, you wouldn't see the data in terms of numbers of people saved, but you know, if there's an intervention there, or you have access to that service, and yeah, you know you go every year and the doctor picks it up and goes, we need to investigate this more, my friend, because I think a lot of ex-athletes and coaches, they recognize something's wrong, but it's almost they just don't know where to go. And I think
where to start,
you know, we're so used to just being like, oh, I'll just text the doc, or I'll just call him, or I'll just see him at training, or here at training, whatever it may be. But, and again, this isn't asking for a handout. It's a hand up is what's needed. And I think now we're getting, with so much money coming into the game, surely a slice of that pie can go into helping former people involved in our sporting codes. And this doesn't have to cost the taxpayer. This can be funded by the sporting governing bodies. I just think there's so much needs to be done. Because, you know, unfortunately with Paul Green, it's not an isolated incident. I know a lot of people that are suffering. And, you know, we look at even things like Old Boys Day, where, you know, it's great. You get in and you get pissed together and have some cheap pies and sausage rolls, and everyone talks about yesteryear. But how about just maybe changing that into you know, a day with a doctor? Like, yeah, you have your good times, but let's expand the Old Boys Day into like Medical Services Day. You know, how many times do you hear it? Like, oh, I only went and saw a doctor because my partner was nagging me. Like, that's the reason to go. Or you hear stories like Paul Green, it's like nobody saw it coming. Like, that for me would be a solution that would have, you know, I think personally it would be very impactful and yield great results.
But how's that? And that's fantastic. I think it's a wonderful idea. But how's it going to stop someone that doesn't go to the dentist every year, that doesn't go to the doctor, when they get a cold gaze, she'll be right?
Yeah.
Well, how is it going to change my mindset when I go, well, I don't see the doctor when I've got a cold. I don't go see the dentist when I've got a toothache. I think it's going to go away. I've got a really bad headache. I'm not feeling well. And if I don't go to the doctor, how's it going to change me when they are, like, for me, there's those facilities already there. They don't have to be owned by the NRL. They don't have to be run by the NRL. There's so many of them out. There's probably one on every corner.
Yeah, but what James is saying is valid. If you had a reunion last night for the 97 grand final.
Yeah.
So yesterday, rather than going to the game and, you know, having beer before it, you all meet. It's an annual thing, and you have your reunion, and you go there, and you go to the doctors, and the doctors do your checkup, and you actually get to go and see somebody, and we make it more that every year when you're having your reunions, it's not just you're not going to get everybody, but it's a starting point, yeah. Isn't it?
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app, thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.